And good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, November 23rd, 2024. And, well, folks, thanks for being here this morning. Looks like we've got some men on the line this morning. If I can push the right button, I'll bring them on. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And Josh, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to be able to grow and to prosper in you, Lord. And do pray that you'd use us, Lord, to usher in the kingdom, Lord, here on earth. Lord, we pray that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, purify us, perfect us, Lord, make us whole. And pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Grant us that full armor of Ephesians 6, Lord. Help us to be wise in all that we do. Lord, do lift up this broadcast this morning, Lord. Pray that it be a benefit to our remnant, Lord, and blow against the enemies. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and I know there's going to be a lot of people that are, you know, traveling to spend time with family and friends and loved ones and stuff. So do appreciate people keeping those in your prayer as well. It's a time where you hear a lot of people, talking about how much they have to be thankful for. And you know, that's one of the things that we've been trying to do, is trying to remind people, throughout the year, of how much we do really indeed have to be thankful for. And, it's a lot of people being thankful at the season. And I think that, we're constantly throughout the scriptures are reminded that we're to be thankful all the time. And I do enjoy seeing people being thankful and talking about history and talking about our forefathers and stuff like that. But it's something that we really try and need to do throughout the whole year. And I was reading some of the stuff, getting some emails ready to get sent out. And we've got one of the ones that I'm working on is Thanksgiving, the True Story, that Pastor Peters wrote a number of years ago. And it is it's truth-packed, good information in it, and it's something that, this time of year, get a lot of people sharing it. Do appreciate that. There's included in that, if you get the email version on it, you can click and go directly to a couple of Pastor Peter's messages on Thanksgiving. And it's just, nobody really says it like he does. He just did a really fantastic job. So if anybody'd like those emails, just shoot me an email and I'll get you added onto the list. Jason@sfaw.org. Really good information, and look forward to being able to get that out and sharing that with people. There's a lot of things about Thanksgiving and our founding fathers that a lot of people just really don't know. I mean, they're lost, and there's all this garbage that's going around that's talking about how our forefathers, weren't really Christians and they did this and they did that, it's a lie. And the enemy has done a really good job at perverting history. You read the Mayflower Compact and you can really see that it was that it was our people that came here for the advancement of the Christian faith, to worship God in the way that they wanted to. I mean, they were being oppressed where they were and when they left. We're going to be talking I'm going to talk about that tomorrow at church, but it's a good time to share with people of who they are and where they came from.
Amen. And it's kind of hard to be fearful when you're being thankful. So there's another.
Exactly. Good point. No, I think the same thing. I think that there's a lot of, and that's, Thankfulness can cancel out fear, and fear can cancel out thankfulness. And we've got just, you know, got to be aware of those things. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, and you know, I've been looking at. I got an article this week, and it said, "Churches, we either stand with Israel or Satan. There is no middle ground." And it has a picture of a church with a Jewish flag going across it. I think I got it posted on the Newswire, but I'm not sure. But had some really, really good information in the article. But it talks about how, you know, Israel and the importance of Israel. And it talks about basically almost the Abrahamic covenant. Goes into a lot of scripture, but what it boils down to is they've got the wrong Israel, and they don't know who they are. Or, I mean, I'm not going to say that they don't know who they are, because I think that these bastards actually do know who they are, and that they're not the people, and that that's not the land. But I, reading through this, it was good information. And it was just, you know, a stolen identity. And they put everything on Israel over there in another land. And they don't know who the people are. It was, you know, and it was, but it was basically cut and dry. And I've heard, and I haven't been to a lot of churches, but I've heard that this is really coming up in the churches, that says that if you don't take a stand and stand with Israel, then you're standing with Satan. And those are some, you know, pretty rough words.
That's how a buck fights. He swells up his neck, intimidates, because they're intimidated, because, and the reason they're getting hot, because they're pushing a lie, and they don't even know it. You know, I was raised in a, church that raised the covenant, you know, and they taught the covenant and everything, and then they had it all figured out except for the wrong person. You know, they were talking about Israel over there, not Israel here. And that's the whole difference, and that's the hard sell. Now, everybody thinks the Jews are God's chosen people, Roman Catholics, all of them. Everybody goes to church believes that. You know, that's a hard sell. But, you know, I think Trump's going to get us in some deep doo-doo, because he's protecting those people. You go back to 1948, we've been going downhill ever since they were made a nation, and we've been going down financially, morally, everything else, and we've been going down with that. Now, he's going to protect those people, and that's a major problem. Now, I think the rest of the world kind of knows who they are, and he's setting them up for this Gog and Magog story. You know, that's what I see it, because, you know, Russia not going to, China not going to go for it, even though, you know, I'm no friend of either one of them. But what we need to do is come home, shut the doors, and clean up our house. The Bible says, make no alliance with another nation. You know, we're not supposed to be it. See, where we really went downhill is World War One. They took up off our soil to fight, and we should have never left. And we got sucked in with that. But, you know, Rothschild said, he who controls the money controls the nation. And we took the Federal Reserve on in 1913, 1917. They had us in World War One already. So this has been going downhill for a while.
It has been. I agree. And I agree 100%. I was looking at this, you know, And I thought about the scripture quite a time. Is bless those that hate the Lord, and you bring the wrath of God upon you. And that goes for a personal, and that also goes for a nation. And, you know, it's I read this on Newsweek, the website, this morning. Republican bill calls for anti-Semites to be deported. And it says a House Republican has told Newsweek why she is introducing new legislation which would deport any foreign national charged with a crime at a pro-terrorism or anti-Semite rallies anywhere in the United States. Representative Beth Van Duane from Texas, who has sponsored a proposed amendment to immigration laws, said legislation change is needed due to pro-Palestine demonstrations on American campuses, which she claimed had promoted violence and extremism, with college after college not responding. She said that she decides to introduce her bills after seeing videos over and over and over again on college campuses where we're seeing an uprising, and it just seems to be growing effort to push hate, violence, extremism, and we just saw college after college not responding. Too many colleges have become breeding grounds for violent Marxist hatred for America and our allies, and we shouldn't be putting up with that. Well, the interesting thing is, you know, she talks about the foreign nationals and this and that. Well, it really doesn't say foreign nationals. It says people that are charged with anti-Semite crimes or even speech. And she talked about in one of the speeches that she gave, she talked about how anybody that speaks out against the Jews should be in prison. And it's like, okay, this is getting serious. It's starting to sound like, you know, some of these other countries.
Well, you know, who is she? You check out who she is. I'll bet you I know what she is.
Yes, I agree.
Well, and it's such a paradigm buster. You know, they give you like two choices. You can the Palestinians or the Israelis. You know, those are your choices. And there's always more choices than that. There's only two outcomes to your choices, good or evil. But there's always more choices than that. And see, they confuse the outcome with, well, they don't, purposely, they confuse the outcome with the amount of choices that they present. And it's like, oh, no, there's other choices. You can deny a support to one without supporting the other. And if you do this, you're automatically bad. And it's like, no, that's not the way that works. You know, I mean, so we're just, you know, it's such a spell that they cast, you know, on us. But
it is.
There again, this spell is the people believe it. They don't check it out. They don't dig any deeper. You know, they're always following somebody that they shouldn't.
Yeah, actually, a Pied Piper type thing again sometimes. We see that. It's like, yeah, nobody can walk the path before you but you. And God's the one who puts the light on the path. So.
Well, you're awful quiet over there, Josh. What do you got on your mind this morning?
Just thinking about, you know, you opening with the Thanksgiving thing. And, you know, what does it take to be thankful? And to me, one of the big things that it takes to be thankful is humility and recognizing that you're not the one in control. You're not the one in charge. And so to be thankful, you're giving credit to where credit's due. And me, you know, the humility is the, I don't know, it's the exact opposite, but it's in the opposite direction of pride, you know, and just how important it is for us to be humble. And, you know, we're talking about all these circumstances right now, this conversation of, you know, they're very complicated issues, and you know, as far as how to fix it, it's simple, but you don't get there easy. And the only way it's going to be fixed is through God. And where I see the main thing for us to do our part in fixing it is to be humble and to cry out to Him. And there's so much power in prayer, and there's so many other different places where we've gained so much ground here recently. And I definitely think this is, or I know this is a prayer target that we need to focus our power on so that we don't find ourselves bringing down more curses on ourselves as we bless the wrong people more, you know, giving them what's actually God's, feeding our enemies. So, I guess just the whole wrapping the whole thing of Thanksgiving up into something that you can, you know, put your hands on more, and it's just a humility thing, and I'm thankful because I have seen a lot more of that here recently. You know, and going back to the election, I have seen a bunch of folks that are thankful, and they're looking more to, okay, you know, this happened, but it's not fixed. You know, we got right. we got a toehold maybe, but what do we need to do to fix the situation? And you got people that are being more bold to speak out. And, you know, that's awesome whenever our people find a voice, to be able to speak, you know, not just hiding in a corner somewhere.
I totally agree. And that's why I like what you had to say about humility. And that's one of the things that it's you know, hard for a lot of people, and it's hard to be humble, for so many people. And I think that that's something that definitely needs to be remembered, is just to have that humility. And to me is what, one of the things that's very humbling. It's you know, the price that was paid for my sins, and, you know, thinking about, you know, Jesus Christ on that cross, getting whipped, getting beaten, for something that I did, for sins that I've committed. And to me, that is humbling. And, you know, something that doesn't need to be forgotten.
I think that's why Jesus is hated so much, because he was humble. You know, it's not in our nature to get over our pride. We have a lot of pride, Dad, in us. And, you know, we have to overcome and get rid of it and do it God's way. But I think that's why Jesus is hated, is because of his humility.
I never thought of that, but I bet you're right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that pretty much every time we turn around in the Bible, whenever we see the word humble, or whenever we see anything that has to do with us coming before God or his blessings to us, you know, Second Chronicles, 7:14, my people called by my name, humble themselves. That's the first thing. Even before you pray, even before you do anything else, humble yourself. And, you know, God, he said, I hate a proud heart. And it's a problem with our people in particular. Like, you want to talk about, we talk about them and the enemies of God all the time, but that proud heart and that lack of humility is probably one of our greatest enemies, and we bring it on ourselves, you know. So the anger of the Lord gets turned away from us when we humble ourselves. So there's a lot. I just looked it up, and it's mentioned, the word humble is mentioned 89 times in the Bible. So that's an interesting thing, but it shows up a lot.
Well, much like meekness, humility is incorrectly associated with weakness nowadays. And that couldn't be further from the case. You know, whenever you've got someone that's done you wrong and you've got the power to retaliate, it takes so much more to be humble and not attack that person for, you know, whatever they've done to you, than it does to just go with what feels good and to rear back and let them have it. Humility is not weakness. Humility is being in order, and it's being thankful, you know, because I've always had a problem figuring out how to put into words. You know, we talk about being proud to be an American, and in that sense, you know, the pride is looked at in a good light. But really, I am thankful to be an American, and I'm thankful Amen. That there's so much sacrifice that has put me where I'm at right now. And that doesn't make me weak, you know, because I am being humble and saying that I'm thankful, because I'm not going to fight any less fiercely because I'm thankful for what I've got than if I was proud of what I got. You know, I realize that I don't deserve to be where I'm at apart from the blood of Christ. Like, if it wasn't for his sacrifice that you just referenced, I would not be here. I could not be here, because I'm not there on my own. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm a human. And so for us to be here, that sacrifice had to be made. And we can't ever lose sight of that. But that needs to be what drives who we are, is being thankful for being put where we're at, because we wouldn't be who we are without somebody putting us there.
Exactly. I think that I think that, you know, that's one of the things is we're seeing that. I mean, it's different when you're, you know, thankful to be an American versus proud to be an American. I can still hear Dad saying in that God Save America again, proud of America of what? Of your diseases, of your abortion rates, of your homosexuality. I mean, this is what you're proud of. And it's different when you're thankful for it. You can pick and choose on what you're thankful for. And, you know, we've seen a lot of things that have happened in this land, and there's things that are happening that are right. There's things that I'm thankful for. There's things that we need to be praying against and fighting against. I mean, the gooks are in the wire, so to speak. But then I'm seeing, you know, just where this Florida, what do they call it? The Surgeon General says that fluoride shouldn't be added to drinking water, and sent out a statement saying that they want to cease and assist all across the state of Florida. And that's happening in a lot of different states right now. That's happening, but hopefully it'll be happening nationwide. And that's something that we've been talking about for, I've been hearing about fluoride since I was a little kid, about how dangerous it was and how we needed to get away from it and all the problems and the cancers and the thyroid diseases and stuff that it was causing. And yeah, and it was something that, you know, we used to talk to people about, and people looked at you like you're nuts. It was they thought you were crazy when you talked about we needed to get the fluoride out of the water and not use that and use non-fluoridated toothpaste. And, you know, it was a spell. It was, well, people just bought into it hook, line, and sinker. It's good for your teeth, and it's good for your body. It's good for your bones, and we've got to have it. And it was lies, and you're seeing that stuff being exposed. And to me, that's huge. When you're starting to see some of that stuff come out, and people are waking up to, hey, you know, that's right. I mean, it may be something on a small scale, but it's something, and people are waking up to that they've been lied to, and that's encouraging.
It is.
Anyway. May not be that big a deal to some folks, but it could definitely be a big deal to the ones that, you know, don't end up getting cancer from it. Every one of those instances where the truth is found out, and where we see and where we move away from something that's bad from us, that's a blessing. That's a win. That's an answered prayer. And we should be thankful for it, but then not let up.
And the amount of ripples that are created in those things, and you know, we all know that they beat particular drums sometimes that they have no intention of marching to, but they, you know, they talk about the Bible, they talk about different things like fluoride, or like the fact that the Department of Education is bad, or that these. The issue with that is they're using that as a, you know, as a lead-in or a grab. But every one of those things raises people's awareness in a way that is, you know, you can't quantify it. You know, you don't really know how many people that something started there and motivated them and, you know, activated them to become to start digging in their Bible, to start talking to people, to start reading things, to start looking around. I mean, you know, throughout my life, I've seen a lot of people that have come to the salvation and the knowledge of the truth just through some small little insignificant event that was their, you know, catalyst to get them going. And it just leaves me in awe whenever I see it of how God works those things out.
Well, and another topic too is, you know, just the vaccine deal. I mean, I don't know if people really realize how close we were to mandatory vaccinations. I believe it was the closest. Every, you know, we had the bird flu, we had the swine flu, we've had this flu, we've had that flu, but through COVID-19, it was really close to being mandatory. And where if you wanted to travel, if you wanted to do anything, you had to have your vaccine card and you had to be jabbed. And I even more so now, I think that we've got people that are awakened to the dangers of it. And you're seeing this anti-vaccination stuff all over the place. And it was one of those things that woke a lot of people up.
Absolutely. I think of the fact that when we look at how God works things for good, I think that's a really good example of it, because there were things that came, you know, brought to light in the public school system when they suddenly couldn't have school, you know, at school, and there were things brought at work, and it changed. Well, I'd probably never know how many lives as far as, showing them. This is what's going on, and this is what can go on, and this is why you need to pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I know a lot of people that saw what was going on in the public school system, and they just decided it's like, okay, when they sent their kids home for, you know, 6 months or a year, whatever it was, they just decided, hey, you know what, we're just not sending them back. So praise God for that. Now you see this Department of Education, and it's crumbling. It's crumbling fast. Praise the Lord for that. It's something that, you know, is nothing but a bunch of indoctrination garbage. And, you know, it needs to be brought down.
What's your reference then, that close to mandatory vaccinations, but I mean, now the COVID vaccines are added to the childhood vaccination. So if you're going to go to public school and be normal, you know, you're going to get those vaccines. And I get, you know, there's still some exemptions that you can.
Oh, there is. I didn't even know that, Josh. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's in the vaccine schedule from, you know, birth to 12 years old now, where those are in the COVID-19 vaccinations are in the included in the vast list of vaccines that children are getting. You can look it up on CDC website. So they've took it and slipped it in, I guess, because of the, you know, they got so much kickback from the adults. They said, well, fine, we'll just add it in what we're already doing to your children. And it takes a while longer.
Dirty bastards.
Yes, they're good points.
Derek writes in, he says, the enemy was targeting the Anglo-Saxons with the vax, of course, because we are God's people. Amos 3:2 says, King James Version, quote, you only I have known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Well, we've definitely been punished. And continuing to, you know, to be so. And I believe that, you know, God uses the hands of our enemies to bring that chastisement down upon us for the iniquities that we've committed. And that's one of the things that we're talking about, is we need to be thankful and we need to praise the Lord and we need to turn from our wicked ways. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, that we've been trying to scream on the rooftops, repent.
You remember that story Pastor Peter told about the farmers? The one was an Anglo-Saxon, the other one was a Jew, and the Jew did everything the other guy did, and his crop just didn't turn out. I mean, he did everything that he did.
Yep.
He's a cursed person.
Yep.
And see, this is why when we support the Israelis, we're cursed too, and we're still suffering from that.
Yes. I agree. I agree 100%. Good point. Well, what else is going on down in your neck of the woods there, Tim?
Well, we've had a bumper crop of corn and milo, and, you know, everything's looking great. The weather has actually been really wonderful here. I mean, we've had a very mild fall, and that's a blessing. I mean, it just we see all these things go on. You know, there's so many little things that we have to be thankful for that you just add them up and count your blessings. But one of the things that is interesting to me here that I've noticed lately is, and I was talking to one of the older neighbors here, and we were talking about when the interstate went in, you know, and wow, the interstate went in and went across the state, and it just was like really pretty fast. I mean, considering a road running all the way across four lanes and everything else, and nowadays they can't even they can't even keep a two lane highway in one piece, you know, but they need more money, but you know, they can't get that done. They can't keep it done. They patch a 12-mile section of road. It takes them, you know, 18 or 20 months just to get a patch job done that lasts about 6 months after they get it done. And so we kind of were talking about something's definitely devolving here in the way that works. And, more money, more money, more money. And it's just kind of makes you wonder sometimes what's going on, you know, with all this. And not really, but it is interesting how there's just never enough. They need it all, but they can't. There's nothing there given for any of it. Everything goes up. Grocery bills are going up. You know, property tax go up and all this stuff. And we see these things going on, and it's, when I see how God humbled the children of Israel, you know, in the wilderness, I think I see a parallel in what's going on here in our country. I mean, it's like until you take care of those things, that's kind of where we're at. You know, as far as you're either going to humble yourself and do it God's way, or this is what you get. So.
Well, I see productivity going out of construction companies like Haver. Jobs are taking 3 and 4 times longer than they used to. They're people just milking the whole system. They don't know about productivity. You go out with, you know, do tree work. I used to go out with a bucket and a chipper, one guy, and we would outperform. Now they go out there with $1 million of equipment and stand on there saying, just look, leaning on it. So, the productivity has gone out of the, you know, the heart's gone out of the people to produce. Tax will do that to you when you pay a man and take 40% of it back. I mean, that'll take the heart out of the people. You pay a man that produces, and that's what takes care of it. But I do see the productivity going out of a lot of things. It's just people, tree trimmers, wires, they sitting in their truck half a day and getting paid big money. You know, it's just the productivity's gone. And the conscious of the people to produce is really missing also. And that's where God puts the spirit in you, where you you give a man his day's work or a day's pay.
It's leaving so much opportunity for people like me out there to go and get it and prosper. And hopefully folks will figure it out, you know. I definitely agree with, I mean, understand and agree with what you're saying on the taxes and everything, you know, but there's not anything that we can't do. And,
you're right, it's a mindset thing. Like, they just, people are broken and don't even know it.
Well, they look at what government does, you know, why work, you know. If you ain't got more moral conscience from God, you started getting depressed. I was getting out, we were working for Kalamazoo County, and I was getting on this, you know, county worker, and he got on me. He says, hey, I come here, I'm willing to work, but and all the stuff they do to it kind of takes it hard out of you to want to work.
And that's another physical attack, because we are meant to work, and we're meant to work hard. It's good for us. It's good for our bodies. It's good for our soul. And when people take that from you, it physically affects you. It's not just it's not just about the work and the production. It's about you and how it affects you and affects your health. You know, whenever we're just sitting around and you don't feel like you're being productive, you don't feel like you're making a difference. I guess because you're not. But you see it all the time when these men that have worked their whole lives, they retire and go home and sit home and do nothing. They don't last anything. They go from healthy to being right. dead a lot of times in a matter of months. You know, I mean, that's not yes. what our bodies are made for. We are made to be productive. We're made to till the soil and to do our work, whatever it is that God gave us. And whenever you're not doing that, you're not going to prosper.
Well, when I was young, all you had to do was tell me I couldn't do it, and I'd show you I could. You know, that wasn't all good. It wasn't all bad.
I know some other guys like that.
I'm always reminded of how, you know, when it talks about they bless their sons, and, you know, they call them in, they getting old. They called them in and handed out the blessings and the inheritance and one thing or another. But the one that always gets me is, and they put their feet into bed and you know, basically they died. And I was like, that's kind of what some of this retirement's like. Those guys, they just go sit down in the recliner and put their feet up and that's it. You know, I mean, it's like, they don't, like Josh said, they don't last very long, you know, but it's like, wow, really? So, yeah, I'd much prefer to just stay as productive and as busy as I can and keep on keeping on, you know. It's like, no, this is good. So,
well, yeah. It's just also goes back to that mindset thing of not having a defeated mindset and being thankful. You know, if you woke up this morning, you got something to be thankful for, you know, and then it just goes on from there of how much better things are and can be. People get hung up on age, you know, I'm this old, I can't do it anymore. I hear people now talking about they're in their 30s, so they're over the hill and they can't do so. Like, what is wrong with you? What, you know, what are you trying to do here? You know, there's folks that are in their 70s that are still getting up and like beating at it physically every day, you know, and doing great. We, that mindset, when you speak things like that into existence, I mean, there's age is just a number. And if we're faithful to God and live like we should, it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, but you got to put in the work and you got to have the right mindset. You got to be thankful. You got to eat well. You got to exercise. You got to do all the things. You got to do your part. And that, to me, that's what we're lacking in so much of all of Christianity, is people don't want to do their part. They just want to sit here and wait until they get their wings to fly away to the rapture. This world's not our home. We don't have to do anything but sit here and watch football and eat our butterfingers on the couch. You know, that's not the way real Christianity works. There's a lot of work and there's a lot of sacrifice and there's suffering and there's, you know, they're all good days, but they're harder days than others. And that's where you get your strength from. That's where you get your salt from. You know, the only way you can be salt is to be stomped on a little bit. You know, when you get enough of somebody taking that 40% of your wages, you know, you get a little salty, and that's that's good for you. It's not a bad thing.
No, they want everybody. Go ahead, Tim.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, real quick, but as you get older, you figure out new ways to do the same things that you had to do. Sometimes you're not maybe quite as much able to do this or able to do that, but you can still do it. You just have to exercise your mind a little bit and figure out a, you know, a new plan. It's like, okay, yeah, we'll get it done this way. So, what Granddad used to say, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So, you know.
Well, when I was a chap, I remember that I was physically stronger, but I always called it old man strong, you know, where these old dudes would freaking hand your behind to you. You know, there's nothing you could do to beat them. Which I guess, you know, they were different men back then, but we're supposed to be those men now that we're getting older, you know. Old man strong is a mentality. It's a mindset. It's smarter, you know, working smarter and harder. And
don't quit. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Just like Paul said, you know, tell me I can't do it. Okay. I'm going to back up studying. I'm going to figure out a way. You know, that's who we are, and that's who you got to keep being always. Don't let anybody take that from you.
I don't want to claim to be have the old man smart, because I don't want to be claiming to be old. But I, just for an example, this happened a couple years ago, and it was just I still laugh about it. But I was moving some 55-gallon drums full of wheat and corn, and I had a couple of these younger guys, and I told them to go move that barrel that was in my way, and I watched them, and they were trying to pick that thing up. They were trying to push it. They were trying to, and they were sitting there, and they were struggling. And I'm like, get that thing out of my way. And, you know, I was kind of getting irritated. And I watched, you know, both of them trying so hard to try to move this thing. And then they're trying to find a dolly, and they're trying to find this and that. And they finally just like, we can't move it. And I said, okay, I'll move it. And they just laughed at me. They're like, how in the world am I going to move it? And it was, you know how you move a barrel? I mean, I thought it was common sense, but I guess it's common sense ain't too common anymore. And you know how you put it onto it, you know, get it up on the lip of the edge, and then you can basically roll it anywhere you want to roll it. And they've just, I mean, their eyes got as big as pie plates, and they thought that was one of the most amazing things that they'd ever seen in their whole life. And I was laughing about it. It was like, well, I guess that's old man strength, but it's you can do it. And it's just having a little bit of knowledge on how something works can absolutely change the way that you do things. And I watched these guys, and it was like they had to go over there, and they had to try it. That was the neatest thing that they thought that they'd ever seen. And it was just, it was funny. I just wanted to throw that in Josh.
So with your story there, which is more valuable?
Go ahead.
That's right. And that's how you get it. But I'm saying from your story, which is more valuable? You know, who's better off? The guy that's got more experience, that's been here longer, or the young guy that's, you know, maybe stronger and faster and whatever. We're better now than we were back then.
Right.
And we've got to recognize that and claim that. I'm so thankful for Mr. Paul. I can't tell you how many times that, you know, just his one-liners that he throws out there were better than any 15-hour sermon he could have preached to me. You know, just smacks you upside the head, makes you feel stupid, which, you know, hey. And but you know how he got that? You know how he got that knowledge? He got smacked upside the head, too.
Yep.
You know, to the point of showing them how to roll the barrels. And it's our job to be training them up, you know. It's also our job to make them recognize the authority that the dad's still the man, you know, in that situation where, like, I mess with me if you want to, young punks, but I'll take care of you. You know, I mean, there's a value in that pecking order too, and them seeing that value.
And it is value. That's the thing right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, it's like you put the value in, you know, being able to work with your hands, being able to think and being able to, you know, be a troubleshooter or problem solver and stuff like that. I mean, that's basically who we are. And I think that's, you know, God put that ingenuity in us, and that's something that the enemy has just constantly tried to take away.
And we're happier whenever we're doing it. We're healthier.
Absolutely.
We're more prosperous.
I mean, there's times you got to go, go back to a manual or go something. But I mean, the way that they intend for things to be is, you want to know what's wrong with a car, you got to plug it in and let the computer tell you what's wrong with it.
Right.
You know, whereas before it's like, I mean, people were happier and more industrious when they had to actually, you know, diagnose. You had to have a brain to figure out what was going on with something when it was broke down. It wasn't, you know, all these sensors and you know, it, looking at all these parameters and stuff, which don't get me wrong. It's fascinating, but, you look at these mechanics that are getting turned out, and you try to take an old vehicle in there and ask them what's wrong or get them to work on it. They don't know how to work on it. They don't know what's wrong with it. They don't know how to do anything to it because, you know, the computer doesn't tell them.
Yeah, the new John Deere units are like that. I mean, they don't actually have them. They have a fully, flow charted setup. You plug it in, and they basically say, "Well, replace this part, or do this, or and
parts dangers."
Yeah, no real thought process goes into this problem could be located here, or is there, a supply problem? No, it's just all flow charted by the computer. And it's like, wow, does that really instruct anybody on thinking or on becoming better at something? And there's this veil of division between, and it's that way all across everything in our land today, between cause and effect. They don't, or between working and not working. And it's just, well, if you have a problem, and it's specialization. Specialization is for insects. I'm sorry. I've heard about that half my life, and I just laugh about it. It's like the more you understand God's plan, purpose, and the way he built the world, the more you know about his world, the more it makes sense. And the more specialized you are, the less overview, the less sense you can make out of anything,
Because there's so many lessons that you can learn in one field that are applicable to others, and you can take that knowledge and it gives you just a foundation to start from. Yeah, it might be different, when I'm working on this John Deere tractor than this Dodge truck, but it's the same principle. The wheels on the tractor and the truck both go round and round. So we're going to start there. We're not going to start with nothing.
Will, yeah, there's no gas in it. Go ahead.
Will said, "Let go and let God is what most people call Christianity. No works, no fruit." That's perfect. That's what they want is, I I've heard it in the, I remember talking with Pastor Peters about it. And, he said that all these people, he'd talk to these people and talk to people in churches and talk to people over here. And, they're waiting on it. Is all we need is a man of God. Is all we need is a man of God to raise up and, preach it and teach it and teach it like it is. But then he said, when there's a man of God that stands up and preaches it and teaches it and gets a little bit of criticism, they don't want to be associated with him at all. They turn and run the other direction.
Which goes exactly along with what I've been thinking since talking about y'all and the knowledge and them and all fear. Whenever you're afraid, you're not in a position to learn. When fear just completely neutralizes someone. And so that's why they do their best on the right and the left. And the whole game is about having us to fear so that we can't do anything to move, anything to get better, to get closer to God, gain any more knowledge and understanding. As parents, I don't know if there's anything more important than for us to teach our God, our children, to fear our God and only fear Him.
Right.
Amen. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Absolutely.
There ain't much wisdom around.
You're right, Paul. Even amongst the four of us here, but we're doing our best, all right?
Didn't the Bible say that he chooses the weak and the foolish?
Yep. Got winners and us.
But we all realize we're not that bright, and that's quite a blessing. You know, I wouldn't trade my youth and my knowledge for nothing.
Yeah. I always tell everybody, and I mean it, I would not go back, you know, because I just mess it up worse than what I did already. You know, God has worked everything in my life for my good. Yeah, I made a bunch of mistakes. There's been ups and downs and a lot of experience, but I'm thankful for where I'm at right now. And I wouldn't change it if I could, because I'm where I'm supposed to be. I believe that.
Yes.
And I believe it's a country where we're supposed to be right now.
I've seen you grow quite a bit, Josh, from the first time I met you. You're quite brilliant now.
Well, knowing what you don't know goes a long way.
When we talk about humility, you know, Josh, you were talking about that there, and one of the things is that's one of those things that why you don't want to change that. You know, people, well, what would you change in your past? And it's like, if you could go back and make everything perfect now that you know, you look back and from where you are today, you wouldn't be the person you are today, and you wouldn't have the humility that you have. You know, sometimes we need people talk about reality checks. Sometimes we need a humility check. You know, you look back and go, oh, yeah, that was me. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, I mean, those things go, you know, that's His way of helping to ground us, to keep us in the proper mindset. So.
Well, there's really nothing to go back to.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, all the mistakes we made and all the things that we did wrong made us more right, you know, and it's because we learned from it, you know. But sometimes you just got to make those mistakes yourself to have them come home. So, but then some people that tried to tell you before got a lot smarter real quick.
Yep. Amazing how that works.
Really quite simple.
So I just encourage everybody really? This week, you know, reach out to your family and be, you know, be thankful for them. Let them know you're thankful for them. You know, visit, communicate. You never know when today might be your last day, you know, and, there's a humility that comes with that growing up and making mistakes and realizing that you don't have it all figured out. And, you know, let's exercise some of that humility and reach out to folks and make those connections and let them know you love them and you're still there for them, you know?
Yeah, amen.
Life got a lot more fun for me when I realized that.
Exactly.
You know, we realize you know what you think you are, you know. Then life gets fun.
Well, and what I've noticed too is just, I mean, having children, and I've been very blessed, and I'm very humbled to have, you know, the family that I do have. But one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, when those children are, you know, thankful for something, and they come up and they thank you when they thank you even for the small things. I think I get a bigger chuckle out of that sometimes than I do. Anything else, you know, it's, you know, my 7-year-old, the other day he was out here on the shop and he found, I think it was a penny, and he came over and, oh, I found you a penny. And I said, well, you can have it. And, oh, he was just jumping up and down. I mean, he was just so happy to have it. And I don't even think it was a penny. I can't remember exactly what it was. But, you know, he came over and gave me a hug and thanked me for something that was minimal. And it just made me happy that he was thankful. And, you know, it made me think about, you know, how our Heavenly Father is when we thank Him for the things that He does every day for us. You know, how that has just got to put a smile on His face.
Well, I have a saying, Thanksgiving is a way of life, but it's really not a day. And it's in the day-to-day everything, and it's good that we come apart for a special day. But it is a way of life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I think we can close out with that. Thank you, men, for being here this morning. Appreciate it. And, folks, we've got, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving a little bit tomorrow at church. We hope you'll join us.
Is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops come to your soil? Will governments enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in your streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, the tide is rising fast. Won't you take the time now to remember your great past? America, America, the tide can still be turned. Open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. The tide is rising fast.